Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It's a brand new year and plenty of NBA talk on tonight's show. We are so delighted to have back with us. It is George Mumford, meditation coach and best-selling author who has worked with some of the most recognizable names in the NBA, Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, and Kobe Bryant. We definitely wanted to catch up with him and visit in the new year. Good evening. I hope the 2016 is off to a great start.
Yes, happy new year. New beginnings, which means ending. So one year ended, a new one begins, and we're up and running.
Well, George, what are your New Year's resolutions? I know that you work very closely with the New York Knicks, and gosh, they're closing in on 20 wins already in the season. Are they going to make the playoffs?
Okay, so you're asking me to look into my crystal ball?
I sure am.
yeah, you are. It's hope. That's an aim. That's definitely a goal, is to make it in the playoffs. But as you might well notice, the Eastern Conference is much more competitive this year than it has been in years past, whereas you had a team like the Boston Celtics become an 8 seed with a losing record. Well, it's probably not going to happen this year, so I think it's too early to tell. So that's the good and the bad news. It's too early to tell, and we seem to be moving in the right direction, so I like our chances.
Yes, the Eastern Conference has vastly improved, and one of the reasons we have invited George Mumford to be on with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, we had him on, I believe it was like last spring. He had released his new book, The Mindful Athlete, Secrets to Pure Performance. He has an amazing story and his journey, and so we wanted to be able to share that. So why don't we start off with having you open up and talk about how you got started and working with so many of the NBA greats and how you helped them step up their game and hitting those game-winning shots.
Yes, well, how I got started working, well, at the time, back in 1993, so it's about 22 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was working at the UMass Medical Center in Worcester, Massachusetts, in the Department of Preventive and Behavioral Medicine, and under that umbrella, it is now called the Center for Mindfulness. But back in the day, it was called the Stress Reduction and Relaxation Program. So I was working there. I helped establish an inner-city clinic so that we could offer the same mindfulness-based stress reduction to people on the other side of the railroad tracks, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea of the clinic was that there were a lot of people that had stress-related ailments that weren't being addressed fully by the medical, the typical medical establishment, the conventional medicine, if you will. So they got referred into a program, our program, because it's thought that as high as maybe 90% of the presenting symptoms and a visit to the hospital or doctor's office is stress-related. And even if it's not stress-related, like chronic pain, for instance, becomes a stressful event. So that, that one, and that's how I got into it, actually. I had chronic migraine headaches and back pain, and that's how I got into this process of mindfulness-based therapies or mindfulness-based approaches to things. So fast-forwarding, the founder of the stress reduction clinic, John Kabat-Zinn, used to, and he still does, they give these workshops or these clinics at a place called Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, Phil Jackson, back in the day, back in the 90s, he used to run a program called Beyond Basketball, and he would be there teaching people the triangle and teaching them how to play the game, have fun, but how to, and they would actually go through a regimen of like a mini training camp with teaching them the skills and the and taking them through drills so that they can actually learn basic fundamental stuff so that they can actually understand how to play basketball in a format and to play with others. And it was basically predicated on being able to see what's going on, and from that awareness, a certain quality of awareness, you can make skillful choices based on what happened. You can read it and then make a proper choice. So it was like mindfulness in action. You have to be able to do that. So in 1993, he approached John and asked him who he could recommend to come in and teach the guys meditation or teach them how to deal with the stress of success, which is because at that time, the Bulls had just won 3 back-to-back championships. So that they won in 91, 92, 93.
Mm-hmm.
And they were dealing with the stress of success. When you become successful, people come at you, they want things. Now you have something, so there's the fear of losing that. But the main thing is that you get, it's really stressful because people are coming at you and wanting things, and how do you manage success? And so he was very interested in bringing me into training camp to teach the guys how to deal with the stress of success. Meanwhile, and that during that summer, Michael Jordan's father got murdered, and Michael retired or resigned from the team. I guess retired would be a better word.
Right.
And so when I got there in October of 93, they were in full-blown crisis because, you know, when the best player in the world retires unexpectedly, now here you are, you got to go on and play without your centerpiece. And so that's how I got started into it. And, of course, we went in and we were able to be competitive without Mike for MJ for about 18 months. And then after 18 months, he came back. It was March of 95, I believe it was, he came back. And I guess he, back in those days, it was a, I don't think it was a text. I think it was a fax, maybe, or I don't know. I think it was a fax.
Right.
I'm back. And that was the headline, I guess, that his agent set out. And so then the rest is history. So I worked with the Bulls for 5 years in 96, 97, 98. They won championships, another three-peat or back-to-back-to-back. And then 99, Phil took the year off because he left the Bulls after 98. And then in 2000, when he started with the Lakers, he brought me along. And so then we I worked with the Lakers from 2000 to 2003. And of course, 2000, 2001, 2003, we won 3 championships in a row, his third. Three-peat, my second three-peat, and that was the 6th championship in 7 years. So from 1996 to 2002, in that 7 year period. I was involved with six NBA championships, both of which were Phil's teams.
Wow.
Using the same process, mindfulness based basketball, you might say, or mindfulness based training for being present, for having the awareness to see things in the moment and to make wise choices or the most beneficial choices, which could be helpful in terms of getting five people to play as one that are on the court at the same time, but we're talking about a whole team. So that's how I got into it. And then, of course, now fast-forwarding years later, I have the same role with the Knicks.
Sports psychologist consultant George Mumford is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break, and the conversation will continue with meditation coach and best-selling author George Mumford.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Welcome back to hour number two at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hooping it up and talking some NBA with George Mumford, sports psychologist consultant, has worked with some of the NBA's finest. Part of Phil Jackson's support staff, is currently with the New York Knicks. And, you know, we also are going to highlight talking about your book, The Mindful Athlete, Secrets to Pure Performance. But when you're working with your clients, when you're working with these athletes, you're teaching them mindfulness. Break that down. I mean, what are you offering? You're teaching them to stay in the moment, teaching them to stay in the present. I mean, why is that important?
Yes.
Why is that important?
Yes. Well, if you think about, let's think about evolution. To evolve, well, things are changing all the time, even though, and that's a source of suffering on one level, even though we know that, we don't necessarily act like that, or we don't change with the times. So everything's changing. The one thing that doesn't change are principles or natural laws. So if you think about how it can be helpful in basketball is played, there's rules to basketball. So you got to know what the rules are, and you got to know how to play within the rules. And how do you know that? You have to be able to observe your experience and make adjustments on the fly. And so in order to do that, you have to be able to see things as they are in this moment, not as they were or as you might hope they will be. You have to see them clearly. So one of the things that mindfulness does, it helps us to be in the present moment and to create space that we're actually able to let things speak to us rather than interpreting what's happening based on our past experience. Because a lot of times when you're playing sports, you don't have time to think. You have to read and react. You have to, in the scene, you have to be able to act very quickly to what is being seen. So if you don't see the proper, you don't see things properly, then your behavior is not going to be proper. So having a mindfulness-based approach is one where you're creating this ability to learn, to be a learner, as Phil likes to call it, so that you're learning all the time and that you're also focused on not just on performance, but performance is predicated on understanding how to be a whole person. So if you want to be a good basketball player, you got to be a good person. In the sense that you have to have certain things like ability to focus in the moment. You have to be able to generate energy so that you actually can perform at a certain intensity level. You have to have this ability to maintain confidence when you make mistakes and when things don't go your way. After you lose a game or after you get knocked down, you have to have this ability to get up and continue to compete. And so a lot of people, we all think that we know what we see, and we think what we see is accurate, but a lot of times it's not. And so this is a process that allows us to start to be able to create what I call space between stimulus and response. Something happens, mm-hmm. and then there's a reaction to it. And what we want to do is train ourselves so that that reaction to the response, to the stimulus, is an appropriate one. So in order for that to happen, you have to create space between stimulus and response so that you can actually have space to create. It's like, how do I want to say it? It's like you want to create this, your mind is just a mirror. It just reflects what's there. It doesn't matter. You don't have, you're not judging it. You're just seeing it as it is.
Right.
And then based on that, you'll make an appropriate choices so that we're not colored by our personal preferences, our ego, you might say, or selfishness, or anger, or fear, or frustration, that we have to be able to execute a play, and then after the play is over, whether it turns out the way we want to or it doesn't, we have to be able to let go of it and move to the next thing without bringing that play with us. In other words, when we make a mistake or we don't get a call, we have to be able to let that go and move to the next thing. And not just move to the next thing, but move to the next thing with enthusiasm and with the understanding of what it is we're trying to do. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Hey, George Mumford is with us. Just a few more minutes right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I know I should have carved out some more time. We're quickly running out of time. The title of his book is The Mindful Athlete, Secrets to Pure Performance. I know you've had an opportunity, as I've highlighted many times this evening, you've worked with some of the biggest and best in the NBA. This obviously is the farewell tour is underway with Kobe Bryant. Just quickly share with us, I mean, what was it like to have the opportunity to work with Kobe? And was he always receptive to meditation and this program?
Yes. For a long time, I'll start off this way. For a long time, I used to say to people, well, Kobe Bryant's the closest thing to MJ in terms of his will to win, but also his coachability, his teachability, his ability to listen and to want to get better, want to get out of his comfort zone. So one of the biggest challenges for all of us is to have the energy or the drive to do something, but also to have the willingness to be comfortable with being uncomfortable so that we're always getting out of our comfort zone. And so the fascinating thing about Kobe is because, you know, so MJ was probably who he modeled his game after until he got his own identity. And at this point in time, I say MJ is MJ and Kobe is Kobe. Kobe has, you know, but he's in that clash with MJ in the sense that they have that same, as I heard Michael say in the interview with Ahmad Rashad, they're both cursed with this will to win. And so they're going to push their bodies, they're going to push their minds beyond what other people might consider reasonable. They're unreasonable with pursuing excellence. And that's how I would categorize him. And if his body was willing, he would continue to do it. As you can see, his body is not able to night after night carry a team, but you'll see glimpses of him having these nights when he's doing really well. But one thing you can count on is he's going to give you his best. He's going to give you all he has, and his quality of or his pursuit of excellence is continuing even when the body is not willing.
Meditation coach and best-selling author George Mumford has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I just know we've got to mark the calendar. We've got to have you back because there's so much more to discuss. Of course, Michael Jordan and countless other NBA stars credit George Mumford for transforming their game. He knows what it takes to be a champion, as he stated, and worked with the Lakers and the Bulls, and he's currently working with the New York Knicks, and they are certainly trending upward. We look forward to our next conversation. Thank you so much, George.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Of course. Much more straight ahead right here, the fastest 2 hours in radio at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We guarantee you, we're going to deliver the biggest and the best in sports, and we are so excited. In our next segment, we're going to talk some NBA. We have invited back Roland Lazenby. You know him well, best-selling author, world-class biographer, who spent the past 3 decades interviewing NBA players, coaches around the league. He has been up close and spent a lot of time around today and yesterday's finest NBA athletes, and recently released a definitive biography on the legendary Michael Jordan. It has done extremely well. It's been released in 12 different languages, and we've invited him on tonight. Hey, we want to talk and hoop it up. Let's talk about Kobe Bryant and his retirement at the end of the season. Good evening, Roland. It's so good to hear your voice and have you back with us.
Thank you, Alyssa. Great to hear your voice.
Well, you bet. And so much to dive into. And let's start off by talking about Kobe Bryant, 20 seasons in the league. We didn't get a chance to catch up with you in 2015. What was your reaction when you heard that he made it official and he was going to walk away from the game after the end of the 2016 season?
Well, it made me think back to 1996 in December when I was there the night Kobe scored his first NBA field goal down in Charlotte, and he came bouncing in the locker room afterward and hit me with a soul shake. He didn't know who world I was. I was just some guy there with a recorder and a notebook, you know, ready to interview him. But he was ready to greet the world and had so much energy and so much hope back then. He encountered a lot of trouble along the way, but he always kept telling me, "I just want to be the man." And I think today you can say he has done his turn as the man.
Oh, absolutely. One of the greatest to ever play the game and be a part of the NBA. As you just said, you know, you witnessed him score his first basket in the NBA. Give us those early impressions. I mean, when he was a rookie, as you said, in December of 96, you saw him in Charlotte Coliseum. Did you hold the belief that one day he would walk away as one of the all-time greats and a legend?
Well, I knew the more I spent time with him, I also got to sit for about 30 minutes all alone with him in the locker room that year in Cleveland before the slam dunk contest. And we would have these conversations, and then I would call him in his hotel room. We'd have long conversations over the next 2-3 years. I realized his ambition was off the chart. And he was there as a very young player. He faced a lot of challenges, but yes, he had all of his skill. You could see he could do all these things. Obviously, he became an all-star in his second season, even though he wasn't starting on the Lakers. But I still worried about him. I thought, this guy's got such ambition. What's going to happen? And, of course, he had a lot of turbulence over the time. But there's never been a player, and even MJ told me this, there's never been anybody work like Kobe.
You know, talking about Kobe Bryant, 17 All-Star appearances, 5 titles, MVP. As we reflect on his incredible career, how has he evolved, not only, you know, professionally, but personally, as a husband and as a father?
Well, you know, I think that Kobe was so locked in on the dream's embrace that he really created a lot of difficulty for himself. He created a lot of rupture in his life with many relationships, and then he married Vanessa, who was just a young teenager, a dancer in a Snoop Dogg video, and his life changed dramatically. And he basically threw many of his old relationships away. It puzzled everybody how all of this could happen. In the process, then he was subsequently charged with sexual assault in Colorado, and he played a huge role. As he says himself, he was an idiot. He played a huge role in sort of breaking apart that great Lakers team with Shaquille O'Neal, coached by Phil Jackson. He had come into conflict with both of them. And he did himself all this damage. I mean, just tremendous damage. And only someone with his constitution probably could have recovered from such damage.
Okay, so tell me, where does Kobe Bryant, in your mind, where does he rank among the NBA's all-time greats?
Well, he likes to phrase it like this. He has a seat at the table. He's third all-time on the scoring list, having passed his idol, Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. I think it's even tough. Some people have a hard time getting him in the top five on the Lakers, which is absurd. He's certainly one of the Lakers' top five and maybe the Lakers' greatest player. You do have Magic and Kareem there sort of throwing elbows his way. But all-time, you know, he's probably in the top 10, clearly. I think it's hard to replace MJ, and I think he knows that. It was a subtle thing when MJ did that nice message to him.
Oh, yeah, the video board.
Lakers played in Charlotte, but it was directed at his little brother.
Is he the closest thing that we've seen to Michael Jordan?
in so many ways. He played for the same coaches. He had a lot of the same style. He was shaped into that in a lot of ways. And, you know, it was an entire generation trying to be like Mike, and he was the one who came the closest. And he came pretty daggone close. Jordan was amazed.
Yes,
when
absolutely.
I talked to Jordan about him, I sat down with Michael in 2008. It was obvious then, and it's nothing has changed, the deep respect Michael Jordan has, not just for his ability, but for the tremendous effort. And Jordan, of course, is a great effort guy. But the tremendous effort Kobe Bryant has made to be great.
Kobe Bryant, 20 years in the league, 5 titles. How difficult do you think this transition is going to be for him to make this crossover? Because basketball has been his life. It's been his sanctuary. It's been his refuge. I can't even imagine. I'm going to anticipate it's going to be difficult.
Well, Phil Jackson, you know, who's now head of the Knicks, was Kobe's longtime coach. Phil is worried about 2 former NBA players. What are they going to do after the life? And they both came along and went right from high school to the NBA, right, almost together. And Phil Jackson has quietly told people he's worried about Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant, both playing at an advanced age now. But I will say there are signs that Kobe is warming to his late 30s. He has certainly a number of projects. He does have other abilities, but he has had such singular focus. There is reason for concern. He's been a maniac. He once told me, I said, what are you going to do this summer, Kobe? We were walking out at the end of a season. He said, basketball. There is nothing else.
Oh, my gosh. Roland Lazenby having a wonderful conversation with him tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And it's interesting, in the month of December, we had the legendary coach, first coach for Kobe Bryant. Of course, Dale Harris was on our show. And I asked him, was he surprised that the announcement was not made at the beginning of the season? So I ask you that same question. Are you surprised that Kobe didn't, you know, make that formal announcement at the start of the 2015-2016 season?
Well, I think Kobe wanted to play as long as he could. And I think he got a good look at this season. He was playing terrible. I was begging him to quit in a column. But, you know, that's not Kobe. He had no mind for quitting. He was in a battle with Father Time, and he was going to fight until he played better. Of course, the effects of his Achilles injury a couple of years ago, and that's really reduced his athleticism. But he is such a smart player. He is playing better. He does have hopes of playing on the Olympic team, but I think even he knows, finally, this is it.
We want to tip off and let all of our listening audience across the country know that you are producing right now. You are working on a biography on Kobe Bryant. Tell us when the release date is going to be, because that's going to be another compelling read.
It's from Little Brown, and it comes out, if I get it finished here in the next 2 weeks, it comes out August 2016.
Okay, very good. No pressure, right?
It's been immense pressure. I've been working on it around the clock for a year.
God bless you.
It's called Showboat, The Life of Kobe Bryant.
Oh, and I can't wait to that next conversation. So my final question for you is, okay, so let's look ahead. Let's give a forecast. Our executive producer, Michael Pearson, he's a big Los Angeles Lakers fan. He's from Cali. Give him a sense of hope. I mean, what's the future for the Lakers and this youth movement that's taking place with D'Angelo Russell?
Well, it's very uncertain. You know, they have to create a sense that franchise has its feet under it before it can really get free agents. I don't care how much money's available. I don't care how much Hollywood is a lure. And so certain things are going to have to happen this season. I don't know what it is. There's going to have to be a really good player out there that just badly wants to be a Laker. Outside of that, the schedule could get pretty long before they get dramatically better.
Okay, you think Golden State's going to win, 72 games this year?
No.
They're not going to beat the Bulls record?
I think they can come close, and they might do it. I just think the wear and tear on Stephen Curry is going to be a big challenge. We're already seeing some signs of the nagging injuries that come along, different things that happen. They're a very good team. They've really defined the way the game is played in this era. And so it could happen. I just think there are more important things than winning 72. Ron Harper, when the Bulls, I was with the Bulls all year when they won their 72. And Ron Harper always had a hat that said, don't mean a thing without the ring. And I think what they really want, rather than 72 games, is to win a back-to-back championship.
Yeah. Hey, the great Roland Lazenby has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Give a shout-out, Roland. Tell everybody where they can follow you on Twitter.
It is at Lazenby, at L-A-Z-E-N-B as in boy, Y.
Okay.
Great talking to the great Alyssa. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Much more straight ahead tonight, right here, the fastest 2 hours in radio, YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell,
the Big E.
Here we go, back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. As a reminder, to listen to the show on the go, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. And happy 2016, the college basketball season. It is in full swing. And how about the KU, the Jayhawks, and the Sooners on Monday night? It was one of the best games I've certainly seen in a while and lived up to the hype. So it's time to hit the hardwood. We're going to visit with the CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp. He is a contributor with Slam Magazine, also a contributor right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. That is the great Lee Klein, first time on the show in the new year. Happy New Year and blessings to you, Lee.
To you and the listeners as well, Alyssa. Boy, conference play is here, and it's here in a big way. And that's the best thing when we get to January in college hoops.
Oh, it's a fun time of year. I mean, what a great way to kick off the new year with the Jayhawks and the Sooners. You talk about a nice throwback to what, 88 in that championship game in the Big Eight days. Did you know it was going to be an instant classic when these two started hooping up, number one and number two?
I didn't know it would be a triple overtime classic. I remember, of course, the Billy Tubbs era in 88.
Oh, yeah.
And Danny Manning and the Miracles.
Stacey
I remember
King.
That
yeah.
really well. So this was so much fun. And again, you know, as much as things change, the story stays the same. This conference begins and ends with the Kansas Jayhawks, and they find a way. Oklahoma with 2 seconds, tie game at the foul line, Kadeem Latin, and clank. And there went the opportunity. Kansas prevailed despite an incredible performance by Buddy Hield, who really showed why he's the front runner for the National Player of the Year.
Buddy Hield was incredible. But do you think this game was ultimately won by the Jayhawks' defensive effort?
I think that it was incredible how they contested. Oklahoma shot 36% from the field. They had a lot better success from three, surprisingly. But Kansas did an incredible job extending the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And really diversifying their offensive attack. I mean, Perry Ellis was money to begin this game. And then maybe, you know, when they needed him early, Perry Ellis was there. And then later on, you saw Wayne Selden finally get going and Devontae Graham and the perimeter, producing. So you got, four guys scoring compared to, before where you didn't have that same sort of diversified attack by Kansas.
Okay, so we talk about the Jayhawks and the Sooners and what we've got the calendar marked for the month of February because only 5 weeks away from a rematch. Are you going to head to the Lloyd Noble Center in Norman, Oklahoma and show up for this one?
I don't go back to Norman post my Texas days, but that'll be fun. And don't forget here, Iowa State is also a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State is going to be in this mix, and don't forget about them. They've got that trio of stars there with the big guy, Jameel McKay, and another first-team All-American candidate in George Niang, and a great point guard in Monty Morris.
Well, Fred Hoiberg did a great job setting up that program, didn't he?
He did, but they haven't missed a beat. And, they lost Naz Long for the season, mm-hmm. but guys step up. Abdel Nader, now a senior, stepped up. They're getting contributions, and this is a dangerous team.
Dangerous team. Speaking of expectations, KU always high in terms of in the preseason rankings and the projections, but talk to me about my Oklahoma Sooners. I mean, did you think Lon Kruger that he would have this team, you know, as high as they are.
This is a really good team. I mean, it started by getting, you know, when you get Buddy Hield to come back to college and be a senior, that's where it starts. Him, Isaiah Cousins, who did not have a great game against Kansas. Having those two seniors anchor your backcourt, and Jordan Woodard really has had a good year. You saw flashes of how well he did against Kansas. The backcourt there for the Sooners is as good as anyone in the country. And then Ryan Spangler really presents a matchup problem, is a real face-up poor guy that, you know, he'll rebound. He might hit you with an elbow. He'll do a lot of different things. Kadeem Ladin also helping out in the front court. But, you know, ultimately, this backcourt is what makes this team so special. And if they can get a freshman like a Dante Buford to come along, if they could get, what you always want is a wing. You know, you got great backcourt, you got some front court scoring. You could start to get some real, you know, slashing ability from the wings. And if they get, you know, a Dante Buford as a freshman to start to come along, then you're talking about a team that really can challenge for a national championship.
How does this Oklahoma team, 2015-2016 team, compare to some of the great teams that have been a part at the University of Oklahoma? We think back to Mookie Blaylock and Stacey King in 88.
I think it's, front court-wise, they're not quite what that team, you know, what that team was. 89 as well was mm-hmm. really, you know, the Billy Tubbs and how he had the Sooners running during that in the old Big Eight time frame. Those teams maybe were a little deeper in the front court, but nowhere close to what this back court is from a scoring potential. I mean, Mookie Blaylock was a one man defensive full court press. He was incredible as far as a two way player from the guard, but you've got three stud guards on this team. So I think backcourt wise, this team's stronger. Frontcourt wise, I'd roll with that group in the late 80s.
Few more minutes with Lee Klein tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is the CEO of Five Star Camp, contributor with Slam Magazine and Basketball Times, also joins us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And I think one of the things that's been so intriguing about college basketball for a number of reasons, I mean, it's wide open. Anything can happen. And that pretty much has been what the prevailing theme in 2015-2016, just the amount of parity with so many teams.
No question. I think that we're going to have a real exciting rush to the Final Four because there's no dominant team. You have no undefeated Kentucky this year to root against. You have a lot of good teams. I don't know if we have a great team yet. You've seen Kansas probably, you know, Kansas and North Carolina, mm-hmm. probably the two elite teams right now, but have shown vulnerability. You've seen Carolina lose to Texas. You've seen Oklahoma take Kansas to the wire. You saw Kansas lose earlier in the year. You have, I think, a group of good teams and no great team yet. And we're waiting. This is when good teams become great. It happens on the road in conference play when teams come together and figure out. You get another guy with confidence that now takes a team and they get on a roll.
Okay, well, the Big 12 Conference, you got to say, the Big 12 Conference is certainly dominated. KU at Oklahoma, mark it down, February 13th. And we've got the Final Four right here in Houston, Texas. I look forward to meeting you. Give me a quick hit. We're running out of time. Who's in your Final Four, the Lee Klein Final Four?
I will go with Kansas, North Carolina, Virginia, and...
Come on, Oklahoma.
And I'll go with Xavier right now as a dark horse.
Okay, that'll be your dark horse. All right, Lee, we look forward to continuing this conversation. The great Lee Klein, CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp, has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. He's back in 2016. Thank you so much, Lee. Have a great weekend, all right?
Oh, you as well.
That, of course, was Lee Klein, CEO of Five Star Basketball Camp and contributor with Slam Magazine and Basketball Times. Always fun hooping it up and talking some college basketball. And it's always a true pleasure with all of our amazing guests that join us each and every week. Time to say thank you to Joe George with YSR, of course, the co-host on Nothing But Net on Thursday nights with Troy Hudson and Greg Tyler, the Houston Texans chaplain. Jesse Harper, CEO of iOne Biometrics, Roland Lazenby, sports writer and author of Michael Jordan, The Life. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports. Hey, stay tuned. Matt Perrault coming up next with Game Night, 10 to 1 Eastern. You stay close.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.